Last week's parsha was Parshat Balak. And the central figure in Parshat Balak is Bilam, the quintessential non-Jewish prophet. I would like to examine who this person Bilam is and his power of speech. We are told in the beginning of the parsha, in chapter 22, verse 2, Balak the king of Moab saw all that the Jews had done to the Amorites. When we go back and read chapter 21, what in fact had the Jews done to the Amorites? In chapter 20, the Jews had begun movement along the eastern side of the Jordan River to begin the process of their eventual entry into the land of Israel. In chapter 20, we find that the Jewish people sent out to the king of Edom. This is chapter 20, verse 14. And they request rite of passage through his land. They make it absolutely clear that in no way are they a threat to him. And the response of the king of Edom is, "You shall not pass." The king of Edom gathers together an army, goes out to the Jews on the border, and emphasizes to them, threatens them with warfare. And in verse 21, the response of the Jews is to turn aside. They continue on, traveling northward. And in chapter 21, verses 21, they come to Sihon, the king of the Amorites. And once again, they request passage through his land. And once again, Sihon refuses to allow them to do so. Once again, there is an army which is gathered. And in verse 23, we're told that Sihon actually engages the Jews in warfare. And when that happens, the Jews fight back in verse 24. They thoroughly defeat him, take possession of all of his land, and then the Jews continue on. This time they encounter a king whose name is Og. And this king also takes out an army to engage the Jews in battle. And in verse 34, we're told that God gives the Jews the green light, and God tells them not to be afraid because they will be victorious. And thus it happens that the Jews defeat Og as well and take possession of his land. When we look at the stories in the preceding parsha, it is clear that the Jews have absolutely no intent of fighting the peoples on the eastern side of the Jordan. It is only when the Jews are attacked and given the green light by God that the Jews engage them in warfare and utterly defeat them. So that when Balak, the king of Moab, sees all that the Jews have done to the Amorites, he should realize that if he does not threaten them, there is no reason for him to be afraid. Yet nevertheless, in chapter 22, verse 3, we're told, "But the people of Moab are afraid of the Jews because they are so numerous." And on that basis, Balak sends messengers to Bilam to go and curse the Jews. And note what he says in verse 5. "Behold, there is a people who have come out of Egypt, who have covered the face of the earth, who are opposite me, and now go and curse them. Perhaps I will be able to fight them and drive them out of the land. For I know that whoever you bless is blessed, whoever you curse is cursed." And when the messengers come to Bilam, Bilam says to them, "Wait here, spend the evening, and I will bring back to you the word of God." Note that the name for God is Hashem, the four-letter name of God. And that night, God appears to Bilam and asks him, "Who are these people?" And Bilam relates to God what Balak had said. "Behold, there is a people who've come out of Egypt, who've covered the face of the earth, and now go and curse them. Perhaps I will be able to fight them and drive them out of the land." And God's response to Bilam in verse 12 is, "Do not go with these people. Do not curse the nation, for they are blessed." Bilam relates the message of God and says in verse 13, "God refuses to allow me to go with you. Note that Bilam does not say that God refuses to curse the people, for they are blessed. He says, God refuses to allow me to go with you. And perhaps because of that, Balak does not see this as an absolute refusal, and sends even more respectable officers, who come with a more respectable offer to Bilam, and say in effect that we can honor you. Whatever you want, we will give you. Just go and curse the people. And Bilam's response in verse 18 is, even if you were to give me a houseful of silver and gold, I cannot transgress the words of Hashem, my God, to do something small or big. But once again, he invites them to spend the night to see what else God will say. And in verse 20, God appears to Bilam and says, if the people have come to call upon you, go with them. But whatever I will say to you, that you will do. Bilam sees this as a license to go. In the next verse, he gets up in the morning, saddles his donkey, goes with the officers of Moab, and then we're told in verse 22, and God is angry with Bilam, and sends an angel with a sword in his hand to be in an adversarial position on the path which he is going. Why is God angry with Bilam? Bilam acknowledges God. Bilam speaks of God being his God. Bilam, in fact, was given the green light by God to go. We don't have any indication in the text that Bilam will do something against the wishes of God. So why is God so angry? Perhaps it's not enough to just look at what Bilam says, but it is also important to imagine what Bilam could have said, or maybe what Bilam doesn't say. And now let me go back to the beginning of the story. When Balak initially sends the messengers to Bilam, Bilam could have given a very simple response to Balak. When Balak says that there is this people who have come out of Egypt, Bilam could have immediately responded by saying, they didn't just go out of Egypt. This is the people of God. This is the people whom God has taken out of Egypt, who God has led through the desert, for whom God has split the Red Sea, to whom God has given the Torah. God has provided for them in the desert by giving them water and manna. This is the chosen people of God. There is absolutely no way that God would allow me to curse this people. But Bilam could have taken it one step further and said, not only are these people the people of God, whom God will not curse, but in fact these people are not a threat to you. They have no interest in waging war against you and fighting you. And if you're afraid of them, so let me go and speak to them, negotiate, and thereby guarantee a peaceful resolution of the situation. Guarantee that in no way will you be threatened and that blood will not be shed. But Bilam did not do that. Instead of making it perfectly clear who this people is, what their relationship with God is, how in no way can God curse this people, but maybe even more importantly, by not suggesting a peaceful resolution, negotiations, Bilam perhaps reflects that his intentions, what he's really thinking, are not commensurate with what he says. Bilam speaks about God. Bilam speaks about not transgressing the word of God, which would imply he's a loyal servant of God. But maybe, in fact, Bilam sees himself in an adversarial position to God, sees himself as being someone who has the ability to manipulate God rather than serve God, and to get God to do, to serve him, to accede to his wishes. And perhaps this is why God is so angry. And God sends this angel. But note that God does not kill Bilam. Rather, God gives Bilam an opportunity to change his path. And then we get into a fascinating story, Bilam and the donkey. When the angel is positioned on the path with the sword in his hand, the donkey sees the angel. Bilam does not. And when the donkey sees the angel, his initial response is to deviate from the path, to go into a field. Bilam's reaction, to hit the donkey, to deflect him back onto the path. And so the donkey continues on the path. And once again, he encounters the angel further up on the path. But this time, there's a fence on each side of the path, so he can't just go off the path. But instinctively, the donkey tries to move, and in the process, presses Bilam's foot against the fence. And once again, Bilam responds by hitting the donkey. The donkey continues on the path. And once again, he encounters the angel. And this time, there is no place to go. The only recourse for the donkey is to just lie down. And for the third time, Bilam hits the donkey. And lo and behold, God opens up the mouth of the donkey, and there's a dialogue which is now going on. And the donkey rebukes Bilam. This is in verse 28. And says, "What did I do to you that evoked your reaction of hitting me three times?" And Bilam's response is, "You abused me. I wish I had a sword. If I had one, I'd kill you." And then the donkey retorts in verse 30. "Am I not your donkey, your faithful donkey, that has been your source of transportation for an exceedingly long time? Did I ever endanger you? Did I ever threaten you?" And Bilam's response is no. And then all of a sudden, in verse 31, Bilam's eyes are opened up. He sees the angel with the sword. He bows down. And the angel says, "Why did you hit your donkey three times? Don't you realize that had the donkey not deviated from the path, I would have killed you and saved the donkey?" And Bilam's response to the angel is, "I made a mistake." Verse 34, "I didn't know that you were standing there. And now, if it is evil in your eyes, I will go back." And the angel says, "Go on your path. But just remember, whatever I will say to you, that is what you will say." And Bilam goes with the princes of Balak. What is the point of the story of Bilam and the donkey? There's a very important educational message here. God is angry that Bilam is going. God realizes what Bilam wants to do, how Bilam wants to manipulate God to curse the Jews. God could very easily have killed Bilam. Yet what God is doing is showing Bilam, "Although I have the power, I won't exercise it. But I would like to engage you in dialogue and bring about a peaceful resolution." And God speaks through the medium of the donkey. The donkey rebukes Bilam and does it exactly the way it says in Maimonides, in the Shulchan Aruch, how one should rebuke his fellow man when they have injured them. Rather than attack the person that's hurt you, you try to engage them in dialogue. You don't say, "What did you do that was wrong? What did I do? What did I do to invoke your anger, to invoke that response?" And by putting the blame on yourself, it creates an opening for the other side to dialogue. Bilam, rather than taking this as an opening for dialogue, responds and says, "You abused me. Yes, it's your fault." Very harsh language, abuse. And he said, "I wish I had a sword. If I had a sword, I would kill you." And it's that expression that shows us who Bilam really is. Bilam is not somebody who is interested in talking, in a dialogue, a constructive dialogue, a dialogue that will bring about a peaceful resolution. Bilam is somebody who's motivated by the sword. Bilam is somebody who exaggerates what the other person has done. Rather than saying, "Yes, you did this," and perhaps acknowledging also what he did, "It's all your fault, and the only solution is to kill you." And it's interesting that even after the angel says to the donkey, don't you realize this donkey saved your life? Don't you realize that, in other words, I was about to kill you? Bilam never goes back to the donkey and says, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Bilam says to the angel, which is fascinating, when he supposedly acknowledges his wrong, in verse 34 he says, I made a mistake. He doesn't say I was evil. A mistake. Bilam doesn't turn to the donkey and say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have hit you. Thank you for saving me. The mistake was that Bilam didn't see the angel, didn't acknowledge the angel. And Bilam says to the angel, well, if you don't want me to go, fine, I won't go. Bilam doesn't realize the whole point. The point was not just the mistake of not seeing the angel, and not just that the angel doesn't want him to go. Bilam should realize he shouldn't be doing this. He shouldn't be going and cursing the Jews. God does not want him to do that, and he knows that. Bilam should acknowledge the evil which he just did to this donkey by hitting him 3 times, by threatening him with a sword. But Bilam doesn't get the point. And in the end, the angel says to him, if you want to go, go ahead. But just remember, I'm the one who controls the situation, not you. The story of Bilam is the story of a person who has the power of speech. Clearly, he is someone, as we see later on, who has the ability to bless. But he's also somebody who has the ability to curse. And unfortunately, Bilam, who could use his power of speech to bring about blessing in the world, to bring about peace and harmony, seems to be motivated to use that power of speech for the purposes of destruction. Bilam is somebody who uses speech, or is interested in using speech, to serve the sword. That is exactly what Balak wanted. Curse the people so that I should be able to go and destroy them. God created the world with speech. Speech can bring about blessing. Speech can bring about creation, productivity, development. Speech can also be used for destruction. Bilam is somebody who uses speech for destructive purposes. I would like to contrast this story with another story. Chapter 18 of Genesis, of Bereshit. Before God destroys the city of Sodom, God says, let me now tell Abraham what I'm about to do. And when God tells Abraham, his response is immediately to argue with God on behalf of the people of Sodom. Abraham could have very easily validated God. He knows that the people of Sodom are evil and wicked. He knows how self-centered they are. He knows how abusive they are. And yet, rather than argue for their destruction, Abraham argues for their deliverance. Give them another chance. How can you destroy righteous people if there are those in Sodom? That's not justice. And let the righteous save the wicked people if there is at least a core group. 50, 40, eventually 10. And every time God accepts his arguments. Today is Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. According to the rabbinic tradition, in the tractate of Ta'anit, there are 5 things, bad things, that happened on this day. And the first thing is that this is the day when Moses came down and saw the Jewish people worshiping the golden calf, broke the tablets, demonstrated to the Jews the breach in their relationship with God. Later on in Jewish history, this is the day, both in the first and second temple period, when the enemies of the Jews breached the walls of Jerusalem, beginning the process that led to the ultimate destruction of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple on the 9th of Av. On this very day, when the Jews worshipped the golden calf, and God said to Moses, let me now wipe out the Jewish people and start anew with you as the new head of the Jewish people. Moses' response is, under no circumstances should you destroy them. Remember the covenant. And Moshe succeeds in getting God to rescind the decree. Moshe says to God at a certain point, wipe me out of your book. Let me die rather than the Jewish people. It's my failure, not theirs. Moses and Abraham, two people who use their power of speech to evoke compassion, to evoke justice, to avoid destruction, to try to bring about some sort of reconciliation, in contrast with Bilam, who wants to use his speech to further the sword. And by the way, note as a parenthetical comment that ultimately Bilam, in chapter 31, is killed by the Jewish people by the sword when they take their revenge against the people of Midian. There's a certain poetic justice that the Bilam who wanted to use the sword against his donkey and to facilitate the usage of the sword against the Jewish people himself is killed by the sword. It is very sad that today is also the day that Israel has embarked on a war in Lebanon and continues to fight in the area of Gaza, a war which we do not want to engage in, a war which has been thrust upon us, a war which has been brought about by the speech of the leaders of Hezbollah, Hamas, Iran, Syria, people who have incited their peoples to see Israel as being the embodiment of evil, to destroy Israel from the face of the earth, and where that incitement has led to terrorist activity, to people being killed in an unprovoked manner, and so we are forced, like the Jews in the desert, to have to defend ourselves and to fight back against those people. May we always follow the path of Abraham to use our speech for the purposes of building, to use our speech for the purposes of reconciliation, to promote love rather than hate. And in the merit of following that path, may we be blessed with peace and tranquility, not only for us, but for everyone in our region. Shabbat Shalom.